Welcome to Jaded Gamercast. We are here in P-Town for the Apocalypse Tournament of Champions, which is essentially one game, but a full weekend of gaming, fun, and an enormous amount of alcohol. Nathan, you're what, seven Guinnesses in at this point?
This is number six, plus I've had three shots.
Hey, so there we go. And with us again, the man who dropped the challenge is Matt Damon with the belt.
His belt.
Give me
the
belt, he says. He's got the belt over his shoulder. He is ready to play. And you guys are playing how many points total?
8,000.
I have 8,000 points worth of combined armies. I do not have an 8,000 point army. I know that when everyone was setting up all of their big apocalypse armies, mine looks very paltry. Like, it's very, very small. But you guys have fucking enormous armies.
And here comes a compensation joke.
Well, okay, no, we'll get to those later. We'll get to those later. Nathan is, of course, playing his Tyranids, and Maddie is, of course, playing his Menstruation Angels.
That's right. Fetish Marines for the win, baby.
Oh, I am, of course, drinking scotch, and Maddie is, of course, drinking water. What is it, water? Is it water?
Water with a little bit of lime.
Oh, water with lime. I think they call it Bud Light Lime.
Bud Light Lime. Oh, I'm your bartender this weekend, God. Too, so I hope you remember that.
You've been making some good drinks so far
tonight.
I'm
telling you, man.
They've been very tasty.
All right, so
Terry's feeling good. Terry's feeling good down there.
Let's start out with predictions. Nathan, predictions.
Shouldn't take me more than three turns to wipe him to a man.
I think the odds are playing on your favor. Matt, predictions.
I've been the underdog for the last 2 months on this game. And you know what? Honestly, looking at both the armies, I feel like the underdog too. So I'm hoping to pull out the Rocky on this game here. Like, I've been training 24 days straight up the stairs to get this game going.
Okay,
like,
but what about the fact that the Italian Stallion wasn't a homosexual?
Just look at my belt.
Okay, there you go.
Check out the photos
later.
I got the belt. That's all that matters.
Oh, my God. Okay, so I think one of the interesting things that we can talk about, other than just the shit talk.
The belt?
The belt. But is Apocalypse games in general. I mean, we've talked about how the game does scale on a very strange level when you start talking about very, very high points costs where the Force Organization chart almost becomes a name. Nathan, what are your views on Apocalypse in terms of, like, how strategy changes?
Well, yeah, as Matt said, I personally feel that, a game of Apocalypse is Warhammer 40,000's version of, like, multiplayer Grand Theft Auto, you know? Because when you played Grand Theft Auto with friends, it was all about how many stars could you get and how long could you keep, like, six stars and run around killing people. Yes. It wasn't about playing the game. There wasn't balance. There wasn't any of these things that make a game of 40K. What it is, and that's really what Apocalypse is. So really, in terms of strategy, you know, it's just take everything you have, throw it down, and hope for the best. Because, you know, when you've got strength D weapons and you have vortex grenades, it really doesn't matter what the fuck is in your list.
But you have to have a strategy, Nathan, right? Like, I know you've got a strategy in mind. There's something here. I mean, and that's what I'm talking about, is how does the strategy change, not how does it compare to a normal game or a tournament-sized game of Warhammer 40,000.
Fair enough.
You fucking lush.
Yeah, look. Hey, the difference between this and a normal podcast is I was drunk at the start.
You were drunk before I showed up. That's for damn sure.
That is very, very true.
And no. Nathan was gay.
Nathan was gay. Thank you.
I was trying to insult Matt. He was fucking texting people while we're doing the podcast.
I'm sorry. It's WrestleMania weekend. I'm already getting WrestleMania texts from Atlanta.
Oh, my God.
WrestleMania.
Jeez. You were playing Warhammer, and you're talking about something fake?
Cheers. Done and done. Pooned again.
No, it's true. I think where Apocalypse differs is, when you develop a strategy.
Oh, Aaron's throwing dice again.
Yay.
Rage quit.
When you're playing a game of Apocalypse, you can't.
He said, "Fuck us" in our podcast.
That is awesome.
I don't think the mic picks up vagina.
Wow. All right. I want to apologize to our listeners because we're not even.
Nobody can hear you guys.
We are not even 5 minutes in, and I'm sure we have offended everyone, which is fantastic.
This is a dirty fucking free for all this weekend. I hope you understand that.
Let's catch up. Time is running down. We're going to get back to strategy, but as you said, offending. Let's go to something good. Time is running down on the Blood for the Blood God contest for people who want to donate to the disaster relief in Japan. Nathan obviously has donated. I have donated. Matt, do you have a soul?
Yeah, for sure. I'm going to donate $25 this weekend. I don't do blood because I'm petrified of needles. But the $25 is going
wait,
in this weekend.
Wait.
He's fighting tyrannids.
So the Blood Angels player does not like blood. I just want to say, put this out here. That is fantastic.
Yeah, it's like he's channeling Sanguinius. Oh, my God. But yes, definitely get your entries in there, as many as you can get in. Like we said, we do have the Greater Daemon as well as
The Demon Prince.
The Demon Prince, yes, the Demon Prince to go along with it, and the $60 worth of gift certificates or a box that you choose up to $60. We will mail it to you in case you do not have a local GW or hobby shop that has things on hand for you. So get your stuff in. Matt, strategy in an apocalypse game. Hit it.
I believe this game is more going to be one of those things where it seemed like a good idea at the time. Like when you go out to the nightclub.
Like people starting a Blood Angels army.
Exactly. Oh,
seemed like a good idea at the time.
No. It's honestly like you make your strategy, you throw it down the first turn, it goes to shit because you don't really know what you're doing, and then you're like, oh, it seemed like a good idea at the time. It's just a really
fun... So you think it's a reaction game. You're saying the strategy is all about reaction.
Yeah, exactly. I think planning with a mobile, flexible force with something that really is fluidic and really can help you like really react to what changes is good, because we're not used to playing at this point level. We're not going to be really good at it. We're not going to be really like playing for it. It's just more like I'm going to throw it down. I'm going to really react. I think this is a general's game because people who can think on the fly are going to really excel at what we're doing here.
Okay, so when flanks fold, which is one of the things that Apocalypse you see a lot of, right? You're playing on an enormous table. You have a lot of models. It's very, very easy to start deleting units off of the table. So when you start seeing a flank fold in an Apocalypse game, what is your reaction to it, Nathan?
Basically, as Maddie said, you need to have the mobility to deal with it. But if a flank is folding, you basically just have to kind of regroup in the center and start picking your shots and kind of deal with it. Because, I mean, in an apocalypse game, when you've got, 8,000 points apiece, if an entire flank folds, it's usually because your opponent commits most of their force to one side. So, you got to try to regroup in the center. Pound the ever-living shit out of it and soften it up until it can hit the rest of your army.
Okay, so do you really feel like a forced flank is a good strategy in a game that big?
Actually, no, I don't. Simply because the apocalypse boards are so big. Because, I mean, we're playing on, what, a 4x16? We have set
there's
up.
There's a 40 by 30 piece of terrain in our board.
Which is hilarious.
It can cover a
Warhound Titan.
A Warhound Titan in it.
No, absolutely. But I mean, I think in Apocalypse, you're kind of shooting yourself in the foot if you try to slam everything on one flank, simply because there isn't enough game for you to get across the board and deal with the rest of it. So, I mean, if I were to commit all onto one flank, Maddie's got the firepower to just shoot me to shit as I try to run into the rest of his army.
Right.
It's not a good way to go.
Okay, so if you were going to play the forced flank with your Tyranids, would you run hordes on the one flank and monsters on the other? And push the hard flank with monsters, or do you feel like the hordes are your winning thing in an apocalypse game?
Honestly, I think hordes are a winning thing. Tyranids have fantastic apocalyptic formations. You should really make use of them. Endless swarms are great because it allows you to throw into one flank, have them all wiped out, and then come on somewhere else because you get without number on everything. Really, Tyranids can't force flank though. Like it's just a hard strategy for them because their army is too fucking slow to cover 16 feet. Like I could spend six turns moving, if I come on hard on one flank, I'm gonna spend six turns running
trying
across
to get to
the
other fucking flank
to get to the other side of the board. So I mean, if you are a fast army, if you're Eldar, Dark Eldar, that is going to be a winning strategy. If you are not, it's really just a crapshoot.
No, I think Matt definitely has the mobility in terms of the list that I'm seeing here. Matt's got a lot of drop pods. He's got a couple of land speeders. He's got rhinos, things of that nature that are going to work very well for him. That is one of the strengths of Space Marines in an apocalypse game. Matt, how do you feel about Space Marines on an apocalypse level? Like, what worries you? What do you feel is going to be your biggest strength?
I really like how my list is built for this game. The speed mobility, I do have a lot of armor. It's just more really worrying about, I'm worried that Tyranids is not a good matchup for me. Just in the fact that there is a lot of hard-hitting units, and the game does start so close together.
We're ordering drinks from the waitress.
Yeah.
Give me a scotch. I need a scotch.
Oh, another Caesar. All right, sounds
scotch
good.
Scotch with ice. 50-50.
Honestly,
this
game is really worrying me because I am running a lot of mech and my army's pretty quick, but his army hits very hard, and because Apocalypse used are so close to each other, I'm worried about being in a combat first turn. Going to one flank.
But I think that's interesting. You know you're worried about being in combat first turn, so how are you going to counter that? Like, how do you feel like, are you going to deploy the mech on the front and let them kind of take the initial wave of, you know, the tsunami? Blood for the Blood God contest to save the disaster relief. I'm sorry, is that too tsunami? Anyways. Okay, so.
The scary thing is if the two guys who are sending to each side of me know that I play, like, balls to the wall, very aggressive gaming.
I
think this is one of the games where I cannot play aggressive. I think you're going to see me playing a very different game than I usually play, because I know if I go toe-to-toe with Nathan and slug it out, I'm going to lose this game. I don't think I have a chance if I play my normal game, so I'm kind of thrown, not only am I in a bad matchup, but I'm kind of thrown off my normal game that I play because I can't overpower an opponent for once.
So which is
very true.
Where are you putting the drop pods then? Because the drop pods are an aggressive unit to play. You have to support them, and you have to be in a position to support them.
My initial strategy was to throw them in the front.
Pay attention, Nathan.
Yeah. No.
I'm sorry, I'm too drunk to think right now.
You haven't even been listening to half of what
my initial says. My initial strategy was to throw them in the front, take them as the bumper unit, and then counter assault.
Oh, okay.
But I think that's not a good play, because I think that's just throwing 1,000 to 2,000 points away in good resources. I think corner hitting his flanks and whittling away smaller units and hitting smaller units and, like, whittling away his little things that my units can really maximize against.
Thank you, Terry.
Would be the best attack, instead of just going, hey, I'm a ballsy player, I'm going to throw all mine all in, you throw yours all in, and we'll see who wins. Because I don't think I'm going to win a game where I just put it all in the middle, he puts it all in the middle. I think he'll walk out 9 times out of 10.
I didn't think you had it in you to be a smart player.
honestly, I think it's going to be a nickel-diming game for me, and it's definitely very strange for me to play like that.
I do understand that Space Marines have to nickel and dime on the Apocalypse level until they feel that they've destroyed enough, the confidence is high enough, almost it's a one-to-one type thing.
Yeah.
Nathan, I want to hear kind of how you feel about large, oversized units in the Apocalypse game, because obviously Apocalypse is being sold as a game that promotes these big, huge, uber units. Like, you've got what are they called?
No, I've got two Hero Duels.
You've got two Hero Duels, right? Hero Duels. You've obviously got a lot of Land Raiders, so, like, this does support large models
I honestly,
in a big game, but Nathan, your name's not Nathan.
I'm trying to tell what I just bought.
Oh, Jesus.
I honestly, for this game, just
Somebody
bought five Land Raiders.
Attention.
I do need attention, because this is awesome. I just spent $1,000 at Games Workshop, people.
That's true.
5 Land Raiders and 25 Terminators in the last 2 weeks. Like,
I appreciate that. And I think that that's something I want to get into later in the podcast here as well. But Nathan, how do you feel about the large models, the ones that they typically try to sell you for these types of games? Like, do you feel that they fit, or do you feel that you're smarter playing the Horde and almost playing it like a quadruple-sized game of Warhammer 40,000?
Honestly, I think super heavies and gargantuan creatures are where the game shines. I mean, you know, first of all, they're fantastic models to paint, and I mean, I always come back to that, as I love painting. I paint shitloads more than I ever game, so I mean, I absolutely love it. But I mean, beyond that, when you have a 700-point model, it's just fun, because I mean, yes, the thing is a wrecking ball, but the thing can still die, you know, because when we're playing 8,000 points,
there's a lot of last cannons.
There's a fuckload of last cannons out there. You know, so like I said, I really think that super heavies is the best way to play Apocalypse. Throw them in, because you can just have a whole lot of fun with them.
I'm aware that it spins. His belt has spinners on it, and he keeps randomly spinning them throughout the podcast to make sure that it's always spinning, like people are actually watching it.
It's always spinning.
I'm psyching them out. I'm psyching you out, Nathan.
It's like supermodels that have the fans to make sure that there's always wind blowing them. no, like I said, I really love super heavies and gargantuan creatures. I think that they add a lot, because, I mean, at the end of the day, yes, you can play a supersized game of Warhammer 40,000, but, you know, if I'd bothered painting my Hierophant Biotitan for this and showing up with it, I mean, that's 1,100 points of pain. Like, it's
right,
just, you can't, like, It
that
takes
was a scary,
an enormous amount.
That was a scary
of
unit for this game too. See, I was scared.
That's
of that for
what
sure.
I was gonna ask.
See,
yeah,
I faked him out on. Fucking, I faked everyone out on Facebook by posting a picture of the Hierophant I bought from Forge World and just being like, "Oh yeah, like 4 weeks ago."
Hey.
And I'm just like, "Oh, I'm totally gonna get this painted up. It's gonna
be
great."
You know you liked my counterpost of that King Kong ain't got nothing on me with everything I bought. Like, I was like, no, this is what I'm bringing.
This is just not checkers. Okay, so I think that's an interesting point here, Matt. Is obviously the Space Marines do not have the option for these big, heavy creatures, these big, heavy hitters like Imperial Guard or Tyranids or other armies that have these massive things, you know.
I mean, so, heck, we've got a guy in here with both an Eldar super heavy tank and a Titan.
And
a Titan. Back Titan.
Yeah, I could have took the Warhound that John offered to me, but I totally didn't go in the gentleman's agreement and said I'm only going to use models I painted.
Okay, but I get that,
But going to Forge World and getting a Warhound done in 3 weeks is... Absolutely. Like,
no, that's
impossible.
Crazy. It's crazy.
It's
but this is my question for you. The question is, how do you feel about the large creatures? Do you feel like it's a detriment to Nathan, or do you agree with Nathan where, like, that's where the game is at and you're really scared of them?
Oh, the Hierophant? Is it the Hierophant? The Hierophant Titan, Biotitan, was absolutely fucking scary. Like, I was going for 2 weeks to figuring out how to just deal with that thing. I wanted to try and drop it in one round of shooting, because if I didn't drop it in one round of shooting, that thing was going to run through my fucking army. Like, no, it was insane. Like, especially with the new rules with the 3+ invulnerable save and a 2+ armor save and regeneration.
2+ armor save, 3+
yeah, like, this thing is...
10 wounds at toughness 9.
Yeah,
the thing is a monster.
This thing is
a
monster.
Oh my god, is that part of the Grey Knight Codex?
No. John's idea was drop 3 Stern Guard units in front of it and shoot with a poison attack. I'm like, John, poison attack's only wounded on 6. He's like... Well, that's really the only shot you got, so you got to deal with it. I'm just like, that's not good. Like, when the only thing you have is, like, going to the craft table and putting $1,000 on black, like, you're like, I get, like this, like, that thing's a badass creature. And it was scary, but, like, I'm kind of glad it's not here, but his army still looks very scary on the table. Like,
there's a lot of big stuff on the table.
There's a lot of big stuff on the
table.
Yeah,
we're gonna take pictures of both armies set up on the display boards before deployment, and then, you know, we'll take pictures
we'll
throughout
the
game.
Kind of get some turn by turn.
The army that I have on my display board, though, is at about 1,200, so there's going to be 4,000 out of it.
You know, 12,000, you mean.
12,000, yeah. I'm drunk. Yeah.
We're drunk? Yay!
We're drunk! Yay!
All right,
but it's
so...
at 12,000, so you're going to see about 4,000 left, but really, it's just like a bunch of independent characters and, like, 2 squads.
It's probably true. Okay, we're going to take a quick break here. We're going to get the game set up. We're going to start into it. Gee, it's like 10:30 and we're going to start this game.
Oh, we're going to be playing
for
like 4 a.m.
Like okay, so we're going to start into this game. We're going to take a quick pause. And when we come back, we might have some more guests. And we'll go from
John
there.
John Wong.
Yeah, John Wong might be
yes.
in it. So pose for the picture and pause. Game is starting out. We've seen our deployment here, and with us, as of course Matt and Nathan are playing the first few turns of the game, is the host of this extravaganza, John the Prodigy Wong, who paints armies in like a week. We always talk about John Wong on the podcast because he's a freak, and the dude puts together armies that look great on the table in a very, very short period of time. And Apocalypse is really your game. Like, you're the judge on this, aren't you?
Well, I know enough about the game. I've played one or two, maybe, because nobody really likes to face 7 or 8 super heavies, which is what I've got. So,
Psychic Hood wins. Didn't you listen to the podcast last week, Matt?
Yeah, that's right.
Anyways, what a bunch of interrupting Nellies. Jesus.
Indeed.
Okay, but yeah, go.
Yeah, I would have had more painted, but I had to work a lot, so I only ended up with 20,000 some points that I brought. 7,000 points of salamanders, 5,000 points of imperial guard.
I like how nonchalant you are about this, because I'm just like, I can maybe make 3,000 points of orcs if I try really hard and add lots of war gear, you know? But like, you're just like, oh, I only had like 20,000 points. It's no big deal, right?
I know.
But I mean, if anybody follows John on Facebook or on the Jaded Gamercast page, the dude has got like a new army painted every 3 days. So like, it is absolutely freakish. But okay, let's get into kind of first impressions on deployment here. Nathan's deployment, how'd you feel about that? Because he basically just deployed his super heavies and his monsters on the table.
Well, what happens really is he chose to do the flank march rule. So, I mean, like half of most or his entire army comes on the side walls and can assault the turn they show up. Good strategy. Like, I mean, you don't have much on the board to get shot at because Matt has a ton of units.
He has a ton. What does he have, like 6 land raiders?
Five
land raiders, a bunch of predators, and what did he... I thought the one formation that really scared me was he had 6 dreadnoughts screening 10 terminators with like a sanguine priest or some shit.
That's not the worst way you could deploy your dreadnoughts. Like, the worst way I've deployed my dreadnoughts is you use the Master of the Forge with all your dreadnoughts, and then you flank march them, which means they just show up anywhere on the table and then assault something.
Ugh.
Yeah, and with no repercussions at all. So,
He's pulling model. Look at it. He just pulled a predator off the table. So, what? Oh, it was a ball predator. Just got pulled off the table.
That's not as bad as the screamer killers that fired and killed 9 terminators.
He failed 9 invulnerable saves on his terminators and virtually wiped the squad from the table, which was a terrible bunch of rolling to start the game off on. But again, let's talk about deployment. So obviously Nathan has deployed his Tyranids in the sense that he's got all of his monsters on the tables to draw fire, and everything else is going to be coming in essentially as reserves popping up on the table in assault range. That is going to force Matt to deal with pure assault. And, I mean, that's tough because, you know, with that many vehicles on the table for Matt, he doesn't have a lot of room to maneuver.
Well, the worst part is dealing with the gargantuan creatures. If they get into the assault, game over. It literally is. Like, I mean, okay.
So you figure Nathan was right, turn 3 and it's over.
it could be like that, but APOC games aren't meant to be like normal games. APOC games are like, oh, is that your army? I shot X amount of weapons. Remove your army.
There goes your army.
The only thing worse that Nathan could put on the table is he didn't get his Hero Fin Bio Titan up, and that thing scares me.
Yeah, no, I think it scares everybody. Well, okay, so let's talk about Matt's deployment a little bit here. Again, he didn't really have a ton of options for reserves. He has a lot of drop pods, which is going to be really good for him a little bit later in the game for kind of mopping up and being in the right position, but it could really turn sour for him very quickly. Now, the thing about Matt is he, like we said, he took a lot of armor, and with 5 Land Raiders, 2 Ball Predators, and 4 Rhinos, he just doesn't have a lot of room to deploy. And I'm sorry, 6 Dreadnoughts as well to go along with that.
Yeah.
So it feels like he's very cramped right now. Even on a 4x16 table, he feels very, very cramped. What do you feel?
Like, the deployment is not so bad. Like, I mean, you're talking about APOC where you could literally just have to stack tanks on top of each other. So deployment is always going to be tight. Like, I couldn't imagine if you had 8,000 points of guard. 8,000 points of guard would be, like, more than a parking lot.
Yeah, pretty much. You'd be filling up, like, every 2 inches of the board.
You'd be like, and the rest moves on reserves. I only have 2,000 points to play.
Exactly.
So, but, I mean, like, it's he didn't have a choice. But, I mean, like, the tanks were his best option, considering what he had to face and what he was considering he faced.
Yeah.
But the thing is, Nathan chose to do the flank march. He spent 1,000 points on these extra options to be able to move on the board like he has.
Right.
And it's something you can't really expect, but I mean...
Well, I mean, I'm going to be honest. I mean, it's fairly clear at this point that Matt's on the back foot. Like, he's already kind of reeling from this hit that he's taken to his Terminators, to his vehicles. And, I mean, you know, the first turn of Tyranids coming onto the table sucks. It's the second turn that just destroys you because it never stops, right? Like, it just keeps coming.
It's true, but he only has one chance to blow up the vehicles. Once he's assaulted the vehicles, then it leaves all the Blood Angels to counter-assault. And Blood Angels, if there's one thing they can do, it's counter-assault.
Oh, I think that's a good point. I think that really is a good point. He does have some very cool vehicles on the table. And obviously, so far as we can see right now, he hasn't lost any Land Raiders. So, mm-hmm. You know, that counter that counter turn of, you know, a shit ton of last cannon fire and a lot of bolter and heavy bolter and multi-melt fire, it can take its toll very quickly.
Well, the biggest counter assault will be like 40 Death Company, which is going to just like hit a line and like explode everything.
Right.
He also did take one stratagem for his chaplain, which gave him the Holy Relic, which is doubles his attacks and his strength. So he's striking at strength 10 with, I think, 10 attacks in the charge. Plus, they're mastercrafted weapons, and he chose them to be lightning claws, so they reroll hits and wounds.
Fucking Master Chaplain Anubis, fucking cheese monkey.
It may be cheesy, but I mean, if you're gonna deal with a barbed herodrill, you might as well take one.
You may as well. Yes, you may as well.
And he can still be instantly killed.
Problem is, Matt takes that to a 1,000-point game too. Fucking cheesy ass bitch. Anyways, okay, so all right, we're kind of, like I said, we're kind of getting into, it looks like, the bottom of turn one or so here. The Tyranids are really pushing hard. What do you think Nathan's going to do in the next two turns here?
Well, considering what he's taken and considering how deployment is going, he's going to have his gaunts just swamp Matt. Like, if you really had to, the counter charge with, like, say you take a lot of Termagants.
Right.
And you have Termagants. The counter charge will be huge if he took Toxin Sacks and Adrenal Glands, which he probably did.
Of course. Why not?
So, I mean, if you counter...
Especially in a game this big. Like, why wouldn't you, right?
Yeah, it's like, oh, yeah, 5-point upgrades. I can't afford it in 8,000 points.
Yeah, right.
Really. But, I mean, that's what's going to be the biggest hit. And the thing is, he didn't have enough for Without Number Horde, so I'm not too terribly concerned about the gaunts. It's the rest of his monsters that are going to hurt.
Well,
like,
okay.
A Moloch coming up in the middle of combat is going to ruin his day.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he can just surround all of his Tyranids around a group of guys, come up with a Moloch, he can't move anywhere, all those guys die.
I think that's a good point. And like I said before, you know, those reserve rolls can essentially screw him by the end of the game. Now, I want to kind of get your opinion on this as well. Because the Space Marine deployment is so cramped, does that kind of benefit Matt when it comes to all of these gaunts, these hordes of gaunts coming in? Because pretty much all they have to deal with right now is vehicles, and maybe like a unit of Terminators and Dreadnoughts, right? Mm-hmm. And obviously the countercharge from the Dreadnoughts, the few Dreadnoughts that get away from the monstrous creatures, and the Screamer Killer! Yeah, that's right. I painted one model in Nathan's army. The little bitty Screamer Killer! I hear vagina talking. But no. I really do think, like, anyone who can get away from, like, the Carnifexes that have come up onto the table, like, they can tie up those units of gaunts. And because of that cramped deployment zone, the gaunts aren't going to be able to push through that many vehicles, especially in a horde, right? So,
yeah, he can just wall up and be like, go ahead.
Right, and I think that's, you know, part of why he deployed the way that he did is to wall up.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, you know, that does kind of stop that flank. The problem with that is, obviously, as soon as those Carnifexes are done with the Dreadnoughts, they're just going to push through that wall of vehicles like it's nothing.
Yeah, but you have to consider that the Carnifexes can be brought down with mass, like 40 Death Company, right?
Death Company can take down just about anything in the game.
That's what I'm talking about, though. Like, right now, Nathan has Matt on the back foot, but we're talking about Matt still has enough in reserve to literally punch Nathan in the face.
Right, and he hasn't even, like I said, he hasn't dropped a single drop pod at this point, so the game can turn very quickly with some advantageous drop pods coming in as we go. Okay, so we're going to take a quick break here. We're going to let them play a few more turns. We're going to come back, and we're going to talk a little bit more about kind of how the game is going and how their strategies are evolving. So with me this time around has been John Wong, and thank you for coming on.
No problem.
All right, so we're just going to do a quick pause and play some music. And we are back. The game is done. And Matt is still holding the belt because Matt wanted to cheat and play a game that wasn't according to the rules. And it was just like, let's play to the last man. Oh, wait, all I have to do is kill all your anti-tank and then I win, even though I'm still outnumbered. So... It was a very close game. We had some interesting turns and some interesting luck, and I think on both ends it was a lot of bad and good. So I mean, at the apocalypse level, you know, obviously we've said before that it really kind of seems like it comes down to a bit more luck than anything else. I said with ice. Anyways,
thanks, Johnny.
John, bringing us alcohol.
The motherfucking room.
Nobody can hear you.
It's all good,
John. But anyways, so did you guys really feel like it just came down to luck, or do you feel like the strategies played out well for you that you had in your head when you started the game?
I think Maddie said it best when he said, you know, you've got two people that both really know how to use their armies and are really sort of using them well, and it really comes down to dice. Because, I mean, for me, Tyranids always have a deficit of anti-tank, and Maddie very smartly mech'd up. And so when you get 20 penetrating shots over the course of a game and you don't blow up tanks with them, what the fuck do you do? You know, so it's just like, you know, one of those things. Every single model in Matt's army that had a toughness was dead. He only had AD.
Yeah, it was
volume.
Nothing but tanks, right?
Yeah,
it was just
nothing
like
but
three Land Raiders, some Dreadnoughts.
Yeah, that was exactly. It. And that's when I kind of threw the towel, because at that point I had Termagants and I had Warriors without Rending Claws. You know, and I think I had four Gene Stealers that were hiding in cover, so should they ever break cover, we're just going to get mugged. So it was just like, it was the only unit with Rending Claws that could have potentially hurt a tank.
Potentially hurt a Land Raider.
Yeah. So it was just like,
you know when you get into combat, you get to use the rear armor.
Oh my God. What was I thinking?
Idiot.
Sweet. Oh. Except against Dreadnoughts and Land Raiders was all I had left.
Oh, you're so right. I didn't even think about that, Matt.
You know, and so, like I said, that's kind of what it was, you know, there at the end, I think it was bottom of turn five, is rather than starting a turn six, we looked at it, and we're just like, listen, you know, I got about 50 guys left, but none of them can hurt the 10 or so models that Maddie had left, so it was just like, I could just stand around and wait for him to systematically wipe me out, or I could throw in the towel at that point, because as we said, we didn't have, you know, any objectives or victory conditions or anything like that.
So Matt, when you meant to the last man, you meant to the last tank, right?
Yeah. No, I
because if it was to the last man, I'd won in turn four. Yeah. Turn four.
No. I literally just grinded him into the dirt with this list, but honestly, I'm like the Yankees. I went out and bought this victory, I think. Like I spent $1,000 on Land Raiders and Terminators for this game, and those are the units that won me the game.
Obviously,
so, No. So, like, obviously, that's what I went out and did. But besides that, like Nathan said, like, two good generals going out there playing good games. Nathan had me on the ropes for the whole time. Like, he sprung some stuff on me I wasn't ready for. I kind of had to roll with the punches, but it just came down to dice rolling.
So, did you guys feel like you were still having a fun time by turn three, or did you feel like it was just getting monotonous?
For me, I found turn five was just sort of monotonous. Like, you know, up till turn four, it was very back and forth, where it's just like some things are going my way, then they're going Matt's way, you know. Because that's the thing in Apocalypse. Like, my first turn, what did I kill? 1,000 points of you, and then you killed 1,500 of me. So we're just it's quite even, you know.
The first turn was a raping for sure. It was it was definitely like the swings. Like I felt like swings of emotions the whole time. Like I was up and then I was down, and I was up and then I was down again. And it was like, there were some times where I felt like I was like, yes, how can I not lose this game? And then, like, 100 more models run on the side of my board. I'm just like, holy fuck. Like, how am I going to not, like, how am I not going to, like, get wiped out now? And it was, that's really what you're looking at there.
Yeah, it was interesting. So, I mean, all in all, you guys had a good time, which was good. Obviously, as we've said before, Matt comes out on top in the challenge. Do you guys feel like there's going to be a rematch at any point here in the future?
Honestly, I hate 40K so much that I wouldn't care to. No, is it? You know, it's just like, by the end of the game, I was just like, oh yeah, this is why I'm really liking fantasy, and I just don't like 40K anymore.
It only took 22 episodes, or 20 episodes or so. If you go back to like episode 3, you're just like, no, 40K is it's just brilliant. It's brilliant. There's so much brilliance.
But then Matt Ward released, you know, what, two Marine Codexes, and
You know what, for me too, like, this game may have killed 40K for me too, because I look at my Marine army sitting out there, and I have everything I want, and I know I'm a good player, and I know I can go to tournaments and stuff like that. I'm really only going to play tournaments now. Like, playing fun games with my friends, is like, I don't really need to. I want a challenge now, and it's more like playing 40K becomes monotonous to me. I know the exact same thing all the time,
well,
every time.
And, you know, like, you're aiming toward Warhammer now, and you're aiming toward Firestorm and things of that nature. I mean, it's good to have that shift of focus. It's not like you're just giving the game up and, you know, garbage canning the armies or anything. And I think for you guys, you know, you've kind of hit that point of being completists. Like, you've completed the army. Like, it's...
I think this was a true completist game where me and Nathan pretty much threw it all down and we were like, okay, let's go have a big blast. Like, cause this game took like 10-12 hours. Like, it was a big game. But I think after me and Nathan were both done, it didn't matter who won or lost. I think we were both just like, this is 40K. We get it.
Yeah, very much
let's,
so.
Let's move on.
You know, and because that was even the thing is, you know, even though we're playing such a huge point scale game, What happened for me and my Tyranids? Well, the glaring holes in that book were just sort of magnified, which is they have a tough time with anti-tank.
Interesting. You know, on a higher, on a larger scale.
You know, and so it's just totally magnified. And with that being said, at the same time, my little guys, they like I said, every single thing that Matt got out of his tank fucking died. And you know why? Because, you know, I can just throw shitloads of guys at him. I mean, my 30 Hormigaunts ran up and mugged 10 Death Company with jetpacks. They Descent of Angel down... hiding behind a rock, my Hormigaunts came over the rock and killed all 10 of them. So it was just like, yay, wasted points, you know?
And that's Descent of Angels sounds like a song a gay stripper would
It is true.
Ladies and gentlemen, to the sounds of
Descent of Angels,
here comes Sanguinius.
Oh, man, whatever.
Love it. No, but I mean, like, that was the thing, is just, like, all of my little guys were fucking all-stars. All of my big guys were, you know, they do okay, you know, one or two things, but like that's the thing is whether I was playing 8,000 points here or 1,500 points, the Trigon pops up, goes booga booga booga, and gets dropped by the ridiculous amounts of heavy and special weapons that are here in the game. Because I mean, I remember a time when you actually had to pay points for heavy weapons. Unlike now, you know, it's just like,
this game didn't feel like it was 8,000 points. It felt like it was 3 2,000 point games. Well, that's what it literally felt like.
You know, you guys weren't even using the whole board because, you know, Matt, it made no sense to really use the whole board.
Matt couldn't with the deployment, right? Because you roll the scattered die and that makes you no man's land. So Matt pretty much deployed smartly on his side of it, but that really kind of penned him into five-ish feet of the board. And I just played a reserve swarm, you know, come out on turn one on any flank because I intentionally lowballed for more strategic assets. What up? You know, and then, you know, basically I just flooded where all of his models were. So
when you
really over five turns, we never got out of the 12 inches from the board. That was where everything happened.
When you see the pictures from the game, you'll notice that I literally had a line where I deployed and Tyranids came from both sides of the line. Like I literally played in a 12 inch area the whole time.
Well, yes. And it was very much a game of wiping out a unit, consolidating, attacking, flamers, drop potting, wiping out a unit,
just sweeping around.
Yeah. Cause like,
just sweeping around. Yeah, exactly.
Your drop pod would come in and it would wipe out a unit and then it would die. And then that was what it was.
So how do you guys feel like, okay, like obviously you said, you know, the scale of the game does magnify the problems with armies like the Tyranids and things of that nature.
Or the what makes the Blood Angel book so good.
Like, right. Yeah,
because there are some good things about that book that really showed like dreadnoughts were just so good. It's like, why would you not run 10 of them in Apocalypse? It's
retarded. You bring that many to 1,000 points.
I do. it's good. No, it just makes like the points, like efficiency in the book just so much better.
Well, okay, that's what I found is when it is a prime ground and models are absolutely everywhere, you know, and this and that, the units that are very good in a codex, they just shine. Like my Hormigaunts, I think, killed about 800 points. They're not bad for a 300-point investment. My Gene Stealers killed probably that as well. And again, they're about 350 points. And you just look at that and you're like, wow, these are really great units. At the same time, I have, you know, big, massive Trigons that's just like, hey, I immobilized a tank and then I got killed. And you're just like, fuck off. Like,
you know what?
300 points and that's all you can do?
This is the first time I've run Stern Guard and drop pods, and those guys were so good.
Yeah,
they were so good.
Very good. They're Stern the jack of all trades.
Well, when you have two Meltaguns and six Combi Meltas in one unit.
Oh
my god, a Trigon's dead. Really? I didn't see that coming.
Or is it any of the units in the drop pods, the Furioso, Death Company Dreadnought, the all-flamer assault squad, like, all those units were just money. Like, right. It was...
What I was going to say is going in along with what you guys were saying about it feeling more like, you know, 3 or 4 2,000-point games, I mean, what do you guys feel like is something that would have made an Apocalypse game better? Like, do you feel like bigger super heavies would have made the game better, or do you feel like the game just needs some different rules for, you know, like, obviously there are different rules and there's tactics and strategies, yeah. But, like, did you guys feel like, A, that the current rules in Apocalypse made a difference, or were they just kind of, like, trite and inane and pointless, or do you feel like they need to add more of that kind of stuff to really augment those weird deficiencies in the game, or even just to speed the game up? Because, like you guys said, it's a massive game. It took fucking forever to play.
Yeah.
This is not something you're going to do on a regular basis. What could they do to maybe speed the game up a little bit more, make things, you know, hit that much harder?
I think some of the guys around here said it the best, is that the reason our game took so long is we didn't have any of the super heavies that we usually use in an APOC game. Like, we don't have the template, you die. Template,
well, yeah,
you die.
There
units.
Were no strength D, because Tyranids don't have them.
And exactly, and I didn't have any Titans either. Like, we literally just played super big 40K armies. These weren't APOC size, wow. John Wong, I have 3 super heavies.
Nice.
No, armies. No, but it's true, right? Like,
he's yelling 7.
He's saying, like, oh, I have 7 super heavies. Well, I wasn't going to take your Warhound, I'm sorry, but and Nathan to get his Titan done in time. If Nathan would have took the Titan, the game would have been completely
different.
It
would have been a different game.
If
it would have been me just trying to kill the Titan the whole time.
Titan.
Yep.
Yeah. No, but I mean, I think that's kind of what it is Apocalypse has, you know, some okay formations. I mean, I had a lot of fun with one.
Disabled my first one in the first turn, you asshole. I didn't even get a chance to throw 4d6 assault cannon shots at you.
it is true. No, you know, they've got some fun formations. I think formations are really great. I took 2 Herodual gargantuan creatures.
And they got raped in the face.
They were pointless. That was 1,300 points.
That was a
absolute
point sink.
Waste. And I think that's the point that I was going to make is, you know, if you're going to go super heavy, you literally need to take the biggest and the baddest. You know, if you don't have a Titan, don't bother taking super heavies, because anything else is just going to be a waste of points. Mm. But when you have something like a Titan that is super, super hard to kill, you know, throws out shit tons of weapons, has those strength Ds, has all of the things that you need to have an absolutely, you know, just be game-changing, you know, that's great. My Hierodules, on the other hand, they were slightly tougher, really, really, really expensive Carnifexes.
Yeah.
And so it's just like they just got put down because, really, you know, how could they not when they have nothing?
135-point Furiosa Dreadnought took it in combat. It was like, they were point sinks.
Oh, yeah,
it was, I was like, I thought I was going to have a tougher time. And then I was like, I killed them both. I was like, oh, like,
yeah.
Ugh.
You know, so really, like I said, you know, it was one of those things where it's just like, they both did absolutely nothing for me and they gave up 1,300 points. So I'm just like, all right. So I lowballed myself to get more strategic assets. I'm already playing 750 down. And now all of a sudden, you know, I'm out 1,300 points. So it's just like, great. I was basically playing a 6,000-point army for the good that they did. Whereas, you know, as we had said, if I had taken those 1,300 points, bought a Hierophant Biotitan and another Trigon, fuck, I'd have tabled Matt. Because there's nothing he can do to deal with that Biotitan other than bring his own Titan. So for me, I think what Apocalypse needs is you either need to, so, you know, have both sides have one of those gigantic super heavy Titans, or neither side take it, because if one side does and the other doesn't, it's unfair. And if you don't go that big, you're just shooting yourself in the foot, because it's never going to pay off.
I think that's what made this game very fair, is that he didn't have the Titan and I didn't have a Titan. Because if he would have brought the Titan, my Terminuses and all my other Line Raiders would have just been shooting the Titan the whole game. It wouldn't have been anything like that. So yeah, I totally agree with the whole thing. Like, you take one super heavy, I take one who was super heavy. You take 2 super heavies, I take 2 super heavies. Yep. I think that's what balances it. But when you're looking at, like, what we did, it was just a big, giant game of 40K. It wasn't really, like, an Apocalypse right. game. You know what I mean?
No, I hear you. So, yeah, I mean, at this point, I don't know what else we can really say about the game for the most part.
It was fun.
I would just say kind of, like, parting comments, like any other stuff that you guys had come up with while you were playing the game that you wanted to kind of throw out there.
It was enjoyable. I thought it was a great way to, like... If you really want the, like, extreme exposure to a 40K game, or just one of those field everything, just have a fun time, Apocalypse is definitely, like, something you want to look into. It's a good thing to do once in a while. I wouldn't say always get into it, but definitely talk to your opponent. Totally have a gentleman's agreement before you go into hand, because it's easily a breakable game.
Yep. Very easily a breakable game. Yeah, I think so.
The other thing that I sort of want to close in on is, you know, what I enjoyed most about Apocalypse was being able to pull out all of these units that I have basically written off or shelved for whatever reason. And really just sort of let them, you know, shine again. Because, I mean, you know, there were units there. I would say my three all-star units that were absolute, you know, number one choice, you know, top three stars are units that I have not taken in 6 months or more.
It's the Screamer Killer.
No.
Yeah, the Screamer Killer was a beast.
No.
Nine invulnerable saves, none made.
Yeah,
none
Don't get me wrong. The Screamer Killer apocalyptic formation, the Screamer Killer brood of drop a Hellstorm of Plasma Cannon.
That's badass.
Yeah, I just walked on the board, killed nine Terminators, and I was just like, yes, go! Because he failed every invulnerable save. It was fantastic. you know, but it was, you know, it's just one of those things where it's just like, what I really enjoyed about it is because this is inherently a broken game. You know, you can take dumb shit, and you can take shit that you have that you would never take if you were going to a tournament or if you were playing a league game or anything like that, and you get to play with it and, like I said, just kind of fall back in love with some of those other units. Because, like I said, my top three star, all, you know, my three-star selection are all units that I haven't used in 6 or more months.
Honestly, like, I never have owned a Land Raider or a Terminator Squad before this game or a model in Terminator Army before this game. I went out and I bought 5 Land Raiders and I bought 25 Terminators and a bunch of Terminator-like characters for this game. I am actually very impressed with Terminators now and Land Raiders.
Well,
like, I've never used them till this game, and I think this has totally opened my eyes to actually using them in tournaments now.
Right.
In other game systems. And I think that's what's good about this game. Like Nathan said, like, pulling out units you don't really usually use or just something, like, having just fun time just filling points and just using them and just being like, hey, like, I got so many points to spend, I'll just take everything. It's like, whatever, I can go to the Kid Candy store and have everything I want. And this one time, I took everything I wanted, and I really had a list that I really wanted to play. And units I don't use like Stern Guards, Terminators, Land Raiders, they were all the best units in my army. And I'm very excited to actually go back home and now and actually build tournament lists with these units in them now that I have them painted and ready to go. And I think this is going to give me a new push on playing 40K. But at the end of the time, like I said, I think this has actually closed the book on being 40K and actually getting ready to be like, my Hornets are done. I'm done playing my Space Marines. Like, let's go paint some new stuff.
Yeah. Okay. Well, I think that kind of comes up to, I think what we can really say to sum it up, which is, you know, if you have the points, basically what you guys are saying is if you have the points, this is something that maybe everybody should try once.
Yeah.
But if it came down to it again and you guys were saying like, hey, let's play each other, you wouldn't be leaning toward an Apocalypse game. It would just be like a normal, you know, 1,500-point game or 2,000-point game of 40K.
Me and Nathan don't have to play 8,000 points against, because we'll figure out what we need to figure out in an hour and a half that we need to figure out in 12 hours.
Right, but I'm also saying, like, in terms of, well, yeah, I think that's
a good
point.
You know what,
for
me, I would say, you know, a big Apocalypse like game like this, you know, I'd be open to doing maybe once every year or so.
Teams.
You know, maybe teams would make more fun.
It goes faster with teams.
Yeah, it's true. Because the other thing is, I mean, really, if we were to turn around and play another game like this in a month, my army is the same. I don't have any new models painted or
you have,
like
every
that.
Model painted, right? It's not like there's any new models to paint, right?
Well, I mean, hey.
Except for your Bio Titan.
Yeah, well, I mean, my Bio Titan, I want to grab up 6 Carnifexes and run that. You know, so, I mean, there's stuff I want to do for my Tyranids, but, I mean, for me, you know, could I make this a yearly event? Maybe, because I think about every year, I'd want to have that itch to just go out and play a ridiculous size game of Warhammer, but
yeah, for sure.
Definitely not more than that.
Yeah.
Absolutely not more.
Do you feel like it would be better to play standard rules, or do you feel like Apocalypse is the way to go? Still.
I think standard rules with Apocalypse strategic assets. I think that's really the only way to do it. Because, I mean, if we had played a standard rulebook scenario, I still think I'd have come out on top because Maddie had nothing with a toughness value. You know, like, it's just one of those things where, you know, depending on the scenario, depending on all sorts of other factors, I might have been able to pull out the win on an objective-based scenario. If it was kill points, I think my army gave up less because you're all mech. So,
yeah.
I mean,
no,
that might have
exactly.
been... You know, so, I mean, there's all sorts of other things. I think standard rulebook deployment makes the board a little more useful. Because I said, just based on the deployment zones, it cut off half the board. And we never had a chance to do it. We never used it. It may not have been, you know, may as well not have been there. We basically played 8,000 points on a 4x8. You know, so that
not
other,
even, not
that
even
other
four by eight, like
oh
was,
yeah, four,
was,
by
like,
six,
four by six,
basically.
We played in my deployment zone the whole time, like
you know.
It was one of those games.
So I think standard rulebook scenarios would give it tighter victory conditions, would give it better deployment zones. But I do think that strategic assets are just fucking fun. I think they do add a lot, and they're not overpowered. They don't break the game. So. That's the changes that I would make, because I would just use standard rulebook scenarios and deployment, and other than that, run apocalypse stratagems and go nuts.
And just go crazy, hey?
Yeah.
All right. Well, I think we'll kind of finish off for the apocalypse side of things. We don't necessarily have a stupidity check for this week, and I don't have any internet access here to check for mail to see if we have anything like that. But let's talk a little bit about some of the other games that we've been playing here today. Obviously, this is about, we've got about 10 of us here. Everyone's just randomly playing every game system under the sun that we can come up with, board games and things of that nature.
We're
getting ready to play an Apers and Twilight Imperium game, which is going to be a little bit of a game, but I think I played Twilight Imperium. I'm pretty
excited. Really pushing it.
I'm
Nathan's
so excited.
Kinda,
this.
And I'm like, I've never played it. I don't even know.
I'd rather paint my Dendrenzi fleet in the corner.
Oh,
you can
paint
while you're playing. You can paint while you're playing this game. Trust me. But trust me, after you
wow.
play this game,
I am so riveted at this game while I drive. Oh, is it my turn now? Who cares? So, you know.
No. It's a fun game. Like, it's so good. If you enjoy fucking over the people, everybody else around you, you'll enjoy this game. And I enjoy fucking both of you over, so I know I'm going to enjoy this game. And I know you are, and I know you are.
You know
so
who else
matters.
You like fucking over? New players at Gossip with your cheese dick.
Oh my god, why are we
list.
Talking about this?
Because you played a guy who's had like his third game of Gothic, and you had the spammiest Tau fleet ever. How many ordnance did you launch per turn?
You said Tau is underpowered in the last podcast.
Answer my question. How many guys? You ran out of tokens and had to use dice because you had so many flights on the table. Now, this goes to exactly what I was saying about Gothic. It's the spam game.
In 2,000 flights, I was launching 52 ordnance tokens.
52 ordnance tokens.
A turn.
Well, you can't launch
anymore.
You can't launch more. I could launch 52 a turn.
No, it was retarded. No, I also had a game of Firestorm. Played a starter box game with my directorate versus the Aquans. That was a fun game.
Which he lost.
I got crushed. Aaron destroyed me. And then I also had a game against John. It was his first game in 8th edition, and I played against his Warriors of Chaos against my Lizardmen. I was in pretty good position the whole game, but boy, it looked like it was ready to turn around there for a second.
I didn't see it. I was napping.
And then I was able to come back and pull out, I would say, about a minor victory, I think, is what I came away with. Yeah. Oh, no, in this edition, I think maybe been closer to a major now because I'd also gotten a couple of banners. But, no, we had some pretty fun games to go in along with it. Nathan, you're painting up your... you're going to probably try to paint up your Dendrenzi. You picked up gunships?
Yeah, I grabbed 3 heavy gunships to add in because they quite frankly just fill a hole in the Dendrenzi fleet, which is they've got big power in both broadsides, so I don't have to try to keep you in front of me at all times.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, it just gives me something that's able to kind of cut in between, unleash broadsides, turn around, and repeat.
Yeah, for sure. So, yeah.
We're playing a 10-30 game, too.
Yeah,
right?
We're going to play about a 1,000-point game probably later sometime tonight, and we'll talk a little bit about that maybe next time. Well, we'll see what happens, right?
Exactly.
But for sure, I mean, I think Firestorm is going in the right direction. And again, you know, this is only my third game, but the more I play it, the more I think that that's kind of the interesting thing that I was going to bring up also with Armageddon or Apocalypse, to go back to that. Do you guys feel like maybe Apocalypse would be better if you got a few more games in, or do you really feel like one game is enough to kind of experience it?
One game is definitely enough for me. Oh, yeah. I think I wouldn't play my army any differently than I have out there.
Well, and like I said, if you don't have anything new to add,
but even if
the game
scenario
will
changed. But what if like the scenario was totally different, right? Deployments were different. It wasn't the whole we're all jammed into a deployment zone and mobility makes a
you know,
bigger difference.
I don't think
Nathan would play it differently. I don't want to cut you off, but I don't think he would.
No,
and I wouldn't play differently
either. Tyranids need to play a shooting denial game. So, I mean, if I can deny you shooting phases, I'm going to do better. And that's the kind of Tyranid list I play. So, regardless of deployment zone, regardless of mission, I'm going to play, you know, the game the exact same way. And that's kind of my beef with 40K is I'm just like, so fed up with the fact that regardless of my opponent, regardless of the scenario, regardless of the deployment zones, my army has to play the exact same way.
Yeah.
That's kind of, you know, that's kind of why I'm just like, oh, and fuck this. At least in fantasy, you know, the mission changes the way I'm going to set up my formation. My opponent changes the ranks and the way I deploy my unit. So I'm just like, ah, you know, there's just so much more to that game. And I think 8th edition is just great. So.
And I think both of you can contribute to this. You've seen me guys play for 40K for a long time, and I didn't play this 40K game differently than any other 40K game I've played.
Yeah,
and that's what I'm saying. Like,
no, and even though I beat you in every 40K game we play, you know, you always play the same.
Stop, please. Can you just stop with that? I really hope I really hope we play a 40K game this weekend. So
hey,
I need
what's
to
the
shut
score?
You
what's
up.
The score for this edition?
Oh, it's 1-0 you. That's because
right.
I didn't what, play my fucking Space Marines.
Right, Maddie, that's what I
Maddie,
thought.
For the record, this is a Jaded Gamer Cast staple.
I know.
Using the edition as a reset.
Oh, as a reset.
Because Lang and I in 7th edition Fantasy were probably like even. We were like, what, 3-3?
Like,
it was almost like bait
this
right
almost,
down
yeah.
the line. Maybe
Lang
one
is
game,
even,
one way. The moment it hit 8th edition, I'm like, look, Lang, I'm 3-0. He's like, where do you get that? I'm like, 8th edition, bitch.
Lang isn't even January. He's a geezer gamer. He just has like he just can't remember past like 2 weeks ago. So that's all he really cares
look,
about.
I have been drinking.
We are like the firms that write out like the movie poster lines for really shitty movies. You just put quotation marks around shit.
Very
and
true.
It's just like, oh, we're just gonna cut this apart, dot dot dot. And there it says someone says it was a good movie.
That's
when they
right.
Did.
Well,
when you put on your poster that Rotten Tomatoes rated this 8 out of 10.
Yeah.
I think we're going to get into this game here, but that's Jaded Gamercast for this week. My name is Lang.
I'm Nathan.
I'm Maddie.
All right, have a good one.
Cheers.
Cheers.